Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Amud Aleph. Here the Gemara is continuing to discuss the machlok between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says that we have a kal v'chomer from Shechitat Behemah to Shechitat Of Tahor. And just like the Shechitah of the Behemah Tehora is able to be mitaheret from Tumat Nevela, even if it is a Trefa, so too, by an Of Tahor, the Shechitah will be successful at removing the Tumat Nevela from it, even if it's found to be a Trefa. In addition to that, we had the Hekesh that brought a Hekesh between Of and Behemah. And that Hekesh then extended that din not only from Shechitah, but also over to Melika. That's the way Rashi learned. The Rambam, the Perush Mishnayot, thinks that everything comes from the Hekesh between Of and Behemah. And just like when you have something in a Behemah that's Makshirit, it has the power also to be Mitaheret. So too, by an Of, if you have something that is Makshirit, whether that is Shechitah or Melika, then it also is successful at removing the Tumat Nevela from it. That's even in the face of a Trefa. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees and says that by an Of Tahor, if you shech the Of Tahor and find out that it's a Trefa, it does not get rid of the Tumat Nevela. And therefore an Of Tahor that is found to be a Trefa, even after Shechita, will have Tumat Nevela of an Of Tahor. The Gemara wanted to know, where does Rabbi Yehuda know that from? And he quoted it from the Pasuk in Vayikra Yudayin, which is, V'chol nefesh, asher tuchal nevela, u'trefa bezrach u'bagir v'chibes b'gadav rechatz b'mayim, tamei ada erev v'taher. And over there, we saw in yesterday's daf, that Rabbi Yehuda notes that the word trefa is extraneous, because it should be subsumed under nevela, depending if you're learning like Rashi, which means, mimonav shach, you end up with a nevela, either the trefa is chaya, like the view in Chulin, that a trefa survives, then eventually it'll die and become a nevela. Or if you believe Trefa ain't a chaya, Trefa doesn't live, then it's a nevela immediately, even when it's still alive. The Baal Tosafot took issue with that view within the Rashi, and they came up with a different explanation for Trefa chaya or Trefa ain't a chaya, what the chiddush is there. But either way, what the Gemara said is that Trefa should have been subsumed in nevela, and therefore the word Trefa there is extraneous. From that, Rabbi Yehuda learns, that teaches you that even though it's a shchita, the Trefa maintains it as a Tum'at Nevela. And that's what the word Trefa is doing there, which is that Pasuk in Vayikra Yudzayin, which is speaking about Nevela to Of Tahor. The word Trefa comes to teach you that if it is a Trefa, it wrecks the Shechita, and it will remain with Tum'at Nevela, even though they did a Shechita on it. That was the source that Rabbi Yehuda brought. That was challenged by Rav Shivzvi from the Pasuk that's found by Chelev in Vayikra Zayin, which says, V'chelev Nevela, V'chelev Trefa, So that pasuk also has the word trefa and nevela in it. In the same way that you said in the pasuk in Vayikra Yudzayin that trefa is extraneous, it should also be extraneous in the pasuk that's found in Vayikra Zayin by Chelev. And so Rav Shizvi says, just like the Chelev nevela over there is telling you that the Chelev, even though the animal, which is a behemah tohra, became a nevela, nevertheless the Chelev remains tohor. And then if you apply that to Chelev trefa, that would say the same thing about a trefa, which means that the chelev of a trefa, despite the fact that the trefa is tmei'ah, nevertheless the chelev is tahor. But that implies that a trefa is tmei'ah. And we had a problem with that, and that's what we ended off with in yesterday's daf, because we have the pasuk that's found in Vayikra Yud-Alef, v'chiyamut min ha-behemah. And there we learned that mixat behemah mitama, mixat behemah ain't a mitama, ve'ezu zo, zo trefa shishokta. Everybody agrees when it comes to a behemah, and you do shechita on a behemah, that the behemah is tehora. It's only by the Of Tahor that there's a machloket, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda. But by a behemah, everybody agrees that a behemah, a trefa, that had shechita, is tehora. And therefore the diuk of the posuk would be incorrect. The chelev of the trefa is tehor, but that implies that the behemah is tmeah. And that's just not true. So then, Rav Shizvi makes a suggestion that the word trefa, by the posuk in Vayikra Zayin that deals with chelev nevela and chelev trefa, is coming to treat you that lim'ute tmeah. The trefa comes to teach you that this is true of the chelev of a nevela and a trefa. It's not true of a chelev of a tmeah. So then the Gemara says back, Hachanami lemute oftame. You could say the same thing about the pasuk in Vayikra Yudzayin, that the reason the word trefa is there, it's not extraneous for like what Rabbi Yehuda said, rather to teach you that that din in Vayikra Yudzayin, the din of nevela tof tahor, is only applicable to a trefa. It's not applicable to an Of Tameh. Gemara says, that's not a problem, because Rabbi Yehuda has a different source for Of Tameh. And now he introduces a third pasuk, and this is what we ended off with yesterday. From Vayikra Perichapet, it says, Nevela u'trefa lo yochal l'tamava ani Hashem. And from that Nevela in the pasuk in Vayikra Chavet, Rabbi Yehuda learns, an Of Tameh is not subject to the din of nevelat of tohor, and that is because yatzazeh she'ein isro mishum bal tochal nevela. The reason is that the isser that is associated with a of tamei is a problem not of nevela, but at a problem of tum'ah. And so only something where the only isur, or the isur that's here, is nevela, will be subject to the din of nevela tof tahor. And nevela of tamei, which is already problematic just because it's an of tamei, and has an isur of tum'ah, which may be either ein isur chalal isur, and therefore it will never have a din of nevela, or even if you believe isur chalal isur, the pasuk's telling you that it has to be something that's only tamei tumat nevela, not something that also has tumat behema tmeya. That the Gemara says that the word trefa is extraneous in Vayikra Yudzayin, and that's the limud that Rabbi Yehuda has. And the trefa in Vayikra Zayin by the Chalib is used up to teach us trefa, not tmeya. That by the case of of tahor, we learn from the word nevela in Vayikra Perachav Bet, and therefore we have the extra trefa in Vayikra Yudzayin for Rabbi Yehuda to use. The Gemara then says, why don't you do the same thing with Chalib? And that's where we're beginning here on the top of Ayin Amud Aleph. Hai Nami. Similarly, when Vayikra Zayin with the Chalib, typically mi Chalib Nivela. Then learn it the same way, that you should learn from Chalib Nivela. Mish Isro Mishum Bal Tochal Chalib Nivela. The one who the Isser is because the problem is Nivela. Yatztazu She'en Isro Mishum Bal Tochal Chalib Nivela. The problem is not because of the Chalib Nivela. Ela Mishum Tamei, because it's a non-kosher animal. And that's why it's not subject to the din of chalev of that pasuk, because it doesn't qualify for what's described in the pasuk. The pasuk says chalev nevela. The problem here is nevela. The problem is not also tamei, or the problem is nevela. And if you're tamei and any isur chalei isur, then you can't have nevela land on top of the isur of tum'ah. So elahai treifa mi boi. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. You freed up the word treifa now again in vayirka zayin. But we need it, letuye chayo, to come along and include a chaya. Salkadat chamina, you would have think when it comes to a chaya, chaya is differentiated from a behema. By a behema Torah, kosher animal, you're not allowed to eat the chalev. On the other hand, by a chaya Torah, a kosher chaya, you're allowed to eat the chalev. And that's what the Gemara is saying here, you would have to have a mina. Salkadat chamina, mi shechelva asur, ubisara mutar, only something where the chalev is restricted. But the basar is mutar, yatzat zo, you would exclude the case of chaya, shechelba ubisara mutar, that both the chalev and the basar are mutar. This is somewhat relying on a limud we're going to see in the second half of today's daf, where it says, v'achol lo tochlu. The end of that pasuk says, and that's what Rashi quotes over here, v'achol lo tochlu, you may not eat it. Something that is only restricted with regards to chalev, but it's not restricted with regards to its basar. So that then leaves out chaya, because chaya, not only is it not restricted by the basar, it's also not restricted by the chalev. And the acholo tochlu, which is extraneous, is coming to teach you something that in other instances has an isur chalev, but not an isur basar. Well, in other instances, the chaya doesn't even have an isur chalev. And therefore, we would have thought to leave it out. Yatzadzu shechelva ubisara mutar, you would leave out a chaya and say it's not subject to the din that's found in that pasuk, kamash malan, that it is, and that a chaya, even though it's chalev and it's basar are mutarim, nevertheless, when the animal dies, the chalev will still remain tahor and will not take on tumat nivela, even though it doesn't fit into the wording exactly, but that's from the extra word shreifa, to teach you that the chaya will have that din. So amalei maishnat mea. How's that different from a non-kosher animal? Over there, by a non-kosher animal, there's no distinction between the chalev and the basar. There, they're both asurim. Chaya nami, ein chel ba chaluk mi bisara. Chaya also, there's no distinction between the basar and the chalev, in the opposite direction. They're both mutarim. If the pasuk is coming to teach you about chalev, and only chalev that is asur, in a different instance, then they fail, each of them, for a different reason. Tmeya fails because it's asur, both the chalev and the basar. And chaya fails because both the basar and the chalev are mutarim. So why should chaya be distinct from tmeya? The od. In addition to that, haktiv. The pasuk itself says, v'achol lo tochlu, which seems to indicate that even if you didn't have the comparison to behema tmeya, which we know is not subject to the din in this pasuk because of the fact that the basar and chalev are the same, nevertheless, just from the wording of v'achol lo tochlu, which again we're going to see the limud on the next amud. As Rashi says here, that achol lo toklu with teitras mishichel bo asur b'soru mutar. That's the definition of in this pasuk titarti lecha chelba michlal nevela. That's the animal about which I said that the chelev will not have tuma, even though it is a nevela. But a chaya that the chelba is mutar ki b'sara is not subject to the din that is found in the pasuk, or you could just say that the pasuk is defining for you which chelev is it that is tahor, even when there's nevela, chelev that is otherwise asur. Well, the chelev of a treifa is not otherwise asur. So for both of those reasons, it would indicate that you would not want to say that a chaya is subject to the din of this pasuk, and therefore you would not necessarily include it from the word treifa. And now we're back to square one with Rav Shizvi's question of what is Rabbi Yehuda going to do with this extra word of treifa in Vayikra Zayin of Chelev Nevela, the Chelev Treifa. Just before we move on, the Balei Tosafot over here bring from the Rabbeinu Tam that the logic in the Gemara is somewhat flawed according to the Girsa that we have. The Gemara comes along and says, oh, we would have thought that Chaya is not included in the Pasuk. Along comes the word Treifa and says it is included. The Gemara then goes on to compare Treifa to a Tmeya and say, well, that's a good reason why it shouldn't be included in the Pasuk. So the Rabbeinu Tam says, well, that's exactly what we did. We brought the word Treifa to include a Chaya, even though you would have thought otherwise. And so that only strengthens the position that the word Treifa here is overriding what you would have otherwise thought. What you otherwise thought was that it should be excluded. And Tamei only reinforces that havamina. And then the word treifa comes to say, despite that fact, it's still included. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam garas, the Rabbeinu Tam had opposite girsa, ela lemeute chaya, that when it came along to say treifa, it came to tell you that the word treifa comes to exclude a chaya, for the reason that when you have something that the chelba is asur, but the basaro is mutar, not something where the chelev and the basar are the same. Then Gemara says, not that I would have thought, but rather, the question comes from Behemat Me'ah, which is, why would I ever have thought to include a Chaya? Because if you compare it to a Tme'ah, it would have been excluded. If it would have been excluded, then why do I need a Miut from the Pasuk of Treifa? Because the Rabbeinu Tam is now learning that it's a Miut and not a Ribut. The Balei Tosfot in the end don't love the explanation of Rabbeinu Tam, because they say the word Treifa in the Pasuk seems to be a Ribut and not a Miut, and therefore it doesn't really flow with the Gemara itself. Although the Riva in Ot Yud Zayin of the Shita Mekubetzet answers on behalf of the explanation of the Girsa of Rashi and says the Gemara's question is the following. Tmeya and Chaya look very similar in the fact that their Basar and Chelev is the same. Then wherever you were Mema'et Tmeya from, you should also be Mema'et a Chaya, or vice versa. If you're going to include Chaya from the word Treifa, you should also include Behema Tmeya. Since they are so similar in that nature, just being opposites, one is totally mutar, one is totally asur, but nevertheless, you should have then come up with this scenario in which either both of them were excluded, and whatever you exclude the behemat me'ah from, you should say the same thing by the chaya, or vice versa. If you're going to include the chaya from treifa, you should also include the behemat me'ah from the word treifa, and that way they preserve the girsa that Rashi has, that the word treifa here is le'atuye, comes to include the case of chaya, to say we'll be subject to the din of the pasuk, that the chelev is tahor, even though it became a nevela. El Omer Abaye, Abaye says that the reason for the word treifa that is found in Vayikra Zayin and what Rabbi Yehuda is going to do with that word so it doesn't present the problem for him is legufe yitzdich. We need it for the pasuk itself. Shalot tomar. That you won't say, ho v'tmeya asura michayim. Tmeya is already problematic while it's still alive because inherently it's a non-kosher animal. There's an isur before you ever shecht it or before it ever dies. Treifa asura michayim. Treifa already is manifest while the animal is still alive. So the Isser of Treifa already exists even before the animal dies and becomes a nevela. Matmea chelba tamei. Just like a tmea, the chelev, after the animal dies, takes on the tumat nevela. And so just like the tumat nevela extends into the chelev and makes the chelev tamei, af treiba chelba tamei. So too by a treifa, we'll say the same thing, that the chelev will be tamei because the Isser of Treifa pre-existed the problem of nevela, and therefore the nevela now will cover everything that's in the animal. So similar to the case of a behemat me'a, where the problem already exists, and therefore when it dies, the tum'ah affects everything in the animal, so too the treifa, the problem existed before the animal died, and therefore when it dies, the tum'at nevela should affect everything that's there. And for that reason, you have the word treifa to come and teach you that the treifa is subject to the din of the pasuk, which is that even though the treifa was manifest while it was still alive, nevertheless, when there's tumat nevela, the chelev remains tahor. So that would be the purpose of having the word treifa there, where it says, Yochi, if you want to learn like Abaye, Hainami Miboye, that you also need it then for the pasuk in Vayikra Yudzayin, where it says, Nevela and treifa, by an Of Tahor, you'd also have to say, Shalot Tomar, Hov Of Tamei Asur Ba'achila, and Of Tamei is Asur to be eaten because it's a non-kosher bird, Utreifa Asur Ba'achila, a treifa also is restricted from being consumed, Ma Of Tamei Enu Mitamei. Just like an Of Tamei is not subject to Tumat Nevela, because that only applies to an Of Tahor, Af Treifa Enu Mitama, so too a treifa would not be subject to the Tumat Nevela of an Of Tahor. Along comes the word treifa to teach you that that would be the case. But then you've used up the word treifa also in Vayikra Yudzayin, and it's no longer available for Rabbi Yehuda's drasha. Va'od mi'ika l'meila of treifa mitmeya. Your whole Hava Mina is somewhat suspect. Have you learned a treifa from a tmeya? Tmeya lo hayta lashata kosher. A tmeya was never ever permitted. From the moment it's born, it is problematic because it is a non-kosher animal. Treifa hayta lashata kosher. On the other hand, treifa had a period of time when it was still a kosher animal, could be consumed. It only developed the treifa later on. Ah, v'chi teima, if you want to say treifa mi beten, ma'ika l'meimar, it's the case where it's a congenital treifa. From the time of birth, it was already a treifa, so it never had shata kosher. Then what are you going to say there? B'mina mi'aika. In its species, in its category, there are animals that had a shata kosher. So to compare a treifa to a tmeya is not a proper comparison. And therefore, you can't from that make the quantum leap and assume, oh, if it's true by a tmeya, it should be true by a treifa. And therefore, I need a pasuk to tell me don't do that. You wouldn't have thought to do it in the first place because a treifa is different than a tmeya. Tmeya is inherently always problematic. A treifa could have had a time where the animal was kasher and then only later developed the problem. And even if it's not in this particular animal, in that category, there is such a thing. And if that's the case, you don't need the word treifa. Not by the case of chelev nevela and chelev treifa, because the whole premise is comparing it to a tmeya. And of course, you don't need it in Vayikra Yudzayin. But now you're back to square one again, which is, yes, you have the word treifa in Vayikra Yudzayin available for Rabbi Yehuda, but what is he going to do with the treifa that's found in Vayikra Zayin by the chelev? What does he need that for? But Elam Rava, Rava comes up with the final solution to the problem. HaTorah Amra, Yavo Isur Nevela, Vayichol Al Isur Chelev. The Torah says that if it comes to, why does it say V'chelev Nevela? To teach you that even though the Chelev was already Asur before the animal died, and then when the animal died, it now adds on top of that an Isur of Nevela. Nevertheless, we will say that it piles on. So even though there's an Isur Chelev, and now there's an Isur Nevela, if one consumes the items, they will be chayav. Not only for eating chelev, they will also be chayav for eating a nevela. Yavo iser treifa. And the word treifa then adds on another dimension, which is, v'chol al iser chelev. If the animal has chelev, and then it's a behema Torah with chelev, that dies. So now it's a nevela. But it was also a treifa. If one consumes that chelev, they're going to be chayav for three things now. Eating chelev, eating a nevela, and eating a treifa. So what it comes to teach you is that the iser of nevela and the Isur of Treifa are chal on the Isur of Chelev. Now the Baalik Tosafot over here wonder about the need for this limud because he says, V'teima, l'mandi le Isur Mosif, lama le cry. According to the one who says that when you have an Isur Mosif, an Isur that extends the restriction, then we say Isur chal al Isur. And if Isur is chal al Isur, why do you need a posuk to tell me that Isur is chal al Isur? If that is what you would have thought anyway. And he says, you can't say that this is the paradigm to learn this to everywhere else, because Chelev is an Isur Kal, and maybe it's because it's Hutar Mechalo, and therefore it's no proof from here. So the Baalik Tosafot leave it as a Tzarachion as to why it is, according to those people that think Isur Chal al Isur, that you will need the Pasuk to tell you that Isur is Chal al Isur over here. Now, firstly, the question the Tosafot is in as strong as he's suggesting, because as the Rabbi Kiva Eger points out over here, the Isur Chal al Isur here is not an Isur Mosif, but rather an Isur Kolal. Because by Isur Mosif, everybody agrees that there's Isur Chal Isur, with the exception of Rabbi Shimon. So that's a much stronger question. Isur Kolel, then there are more people that say maybe Ein Isur Chal Isur. There still is a question, it's just not as strong as he suggested. So either you have to suggest that the Pasuk's only for those that require Isur Chal Al Isur, or you have to say the Chiddush is in one of two directions, which is, even if you believe Isur Chal Al Isur, despite that fact that there is an Isur Nevela now on top of the Chelev, nevertheless, the Tumat Nevela will not affect the Chelev, or vice versa. Since we know already that the Chelev is not affected by the Tumat Nevela based on the Pasuk that says you can get Hana'ah from it, obviously you can get Hana'ah. Hana'ah means you get Hana'ah without any Tumah. which means that it remains Tehora. So you would have thought then maybe the Isur Nevela is not Chal. So it comes along to teach you that even so, Isur Chal al Isur. So either way, either the Chiddush is that if you know that the Chaleb does not have Tumat Nevela, the Chiddush is that Isur is Chal al Isur anyway, or if you believe Isur Chal al Isur, despite the fact that Isur Chal al Isur, over here the Chaleb will remain Tehora. So that'll be the Chiddush, or the way to answer the question of the Tosafot for even those people who normally hold Isur Chal al Isur. But now, we've solved the problem, because we found a use for the word Treifa by Vayikra Zayin by the Chaleb. And that means that in Vayikra Yud Zayin, the word Treifa is extraneous, available for Rabbi Yehuda to use. And now he could say with that Treifa, that if you shecht an Of Tahor, and you find that it's a Treifa, it will remain, or it will have a din of Tumat Nevela, despite the fact that you performed shechita on it. And that's the source for Rabbi Yehuda's position. And the Gemara just adds on that we needed both Chelev Nevela and Chelev Treifa because it's Rechei. The Ishmanin and Nevela, because had you just told me about Nevela, Mishum Demetamio, because Nevela is not only an Isur, it also has Tuma involved with it. So maybe we would have thought there, that's why Isur Chalal Isur. About Treifa, which is only an Isur and not a Tmeya, maybe over there we would say, no, it's not Isur Chalal Isur. The Ishmanin Treifa, Mishim the Isura Mechayim. By Treifa, the Isur already exists while the animal is alive. Since the Isur already is manifest while the animal is still alive, maybe it's more chamor, and that's why Isur Chalal Isur, Aval Nevela, Eim Alo. But by Nevela, we would say no. It's a Nevela, which only comes after the death of the animal. Therefore, Eim Alo, maybe there wouldn't be Isur Chalal Isur Tzricha. By Tosafot is somewhat bothered by that latter statement of the Gemara, because it says, Tema, Beperek Betuchulin, Oven Kavachom Yipcha. They do just the opposite. The Gemara uses the exact opposite logic to state that a treifa is more kal than a nevela. So the answer could be, if you look up in the Bach in Odbet, he changes the girsa to Rashi's girsa in Chulin, which is that the michasra, that Rashi over there suggests that the problem is not that it's asur michayim, and here Rashi states that the Gemara is viewing this treifa chaya, a treifa will survive, and since a treifa will live, therefore, it will eventually become a nevela. And so, therefore, the Isur of Treifa is simply that it will become a nevela. It's not differentiated. So what differentiates it from a nevela? The Mechasra. It's missing something. The Treifa has a lacking in some way. And so maybe that lacking is what makes it that the Isur is called Isur. But a nevela that doesn't have any of that lacking in it, then maybe that wouldn't be true. And that's the Kamash Malon that we need both of them here. So that's a way to solve the question of the Bali Tosafot by using that Girsa of Rashi from Chulin that the Bach brings here in Odbet. Now the Gemara says, okay, now we dealt with all these different limudim that Rabbi Yehuda brought, but that also made available a number of psukim and a number of words that are extraneous, and now we need to figure out what Rabbi Meir does with those words. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, hi treifa ma'avidle. So what does Rabbi Meir do with that extra treifa that we found in Vayikra Yudzayin that Rabbi Yehuda is using to say that a treifa leaves it with tumat nevela for an of tohor even after shechita? Clearly Rabbi Meir disagrees with that, so what is he going to do with the word treifa? Comes to exclude the case of where you did a shchitat chulin inside of the azara. So in there, we said that the shchita is successful at removing the din of tuma. That was learned out from the extra word treifa. Rashi over here claims that that's associated with the brito that we brought on Samach Terem and Aleph. But Rashi says in the brito that were brought, they were darshing the word treifa, that this is b'ha matnita lekameh mitukam k'Rabbi Meir. This braita is going to be established like Rabbi Meir. That's what our Gemara is doing now. Because he believes that a shchita of an of tohor gets rid of the treifa, and he uses this extra word of treifa, which is extraneous, which Rabbi Huda doesn't have as extraneous, to teach you that you have to compare it to a treifa. And we had two braita. One was ma treifa, ein materet et isur, av kosh ein materet et isur. Or the second braita, which said that matreifa shaveh bifnim ki bachutz, avko shavo bimifnim ki bachutz, that have to be equal inside and outside. And we dealt with that yesterday to say why shchitat chulin bifnim is differentiated from shchitat chulin bachutz. It's not called something from hechsher to enu hechsher. And therefore, we learn from that if you do a shchita of chulin bifnim, it is mitaheret from tumat nevela. So if you shecht an oaf of chulin inside of the azara, that will, even though it's pasul, it still will remove the shame nevelat of tahor from it. So that's what he uses the word treifa from. He goes, Rabbi Yehuda, where does Rabbi Yehuda know that from? So he says, treifa chrinoktiv. There's a treifa written in the pasuk in Vayikra Chavbet, nevelo treifa. He'll use that treifa for this limud that Rabbi Meir has. Now that is interesting, just to note that Rabbi Yehuda believes that a shechita of chulin b'chutz, which is a proper shechita and where you're supposed to be doing shechita, that is not successful at removing the tumat nevela from the of tahor when it is a treifa. On the other hand, when you do a shechita of chulin bifnim, where it's a shechita psula, that will succeed at getting rid of the tumat nevela. Now you have to say in the end, it's a gzera to katu from the word treifa, but it's interesting, just on a logical basis, you would think that shechita in the place where it's supposed to be done should be more effective than shechita that's done bifnim, where it's not supposed to be done, or the chulin is not supposed to be processed. But that's the way it'll turn out, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The one word, treifa, and vayikra yudzayim will teach you that, despite the fact that you did shechita, it will remain an nevela. A treifa that's found in vayikra chabet will teach you that if you do shechita of chulin bifnim, since it's not shaver bifnim or b'chutz, that is mitaharit from tubat nevela of an of tahor. And those that disagree with Rashi on some of Tadam and Aleph, who said that those brighter were authored by Rabbi Meir, they can cite this treifa as a reason to as to why Rabbi Yehuda could be the author of those brightot on the Amud Aleph. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Meir, you took care of one of the words of treifa in Vayikra Yudzayin. You didn't take care of the word treifa that's found in Vayikra Chabet. What's he going to do with that? So chadimute shechita shehi lifnim. That's what we already dealt with. That the shechita bifnim is covered by Vayikra Yudzayin, the word treifa there. And another chadimute of tameh. And the other one to get rid of tameh, to tell you that of tameh is not subject to tumat nevela of an of tahor. Meaning that when you swallow it and you have that tumat nevela that's associated with it, that's not true by a non-kosher bird. It's only true by kosher birds. And that's what the word treifa teaches you. Mishiesh lo treifa. Meaning it's something that has a treifa in its world, which means a kosher bird, then is subject to tumat nevelat of tahor. That's not true by non-kosher birds. And as the Balei Tosafot point out over here, that he doesn't use the same source Rabbi Yehuda used, which was from the word nevela in Vayikra Chavet, because that limud was premised on Yatzazeh, She'en Yisroel Mishum Bal Tochal Nevela, Mishum Bal Tochal Tameh. Because his miut comes from the fact that it says nevela, and so only something where the Isser is nevela, and not because the Isser is Tumah. But Rabbi Meir believes Isser Chalal Isser, and if Isser is Chalal Isser, then there would also be a Tumat Nevela, even for a bird that is Tameh. And so therefore it would have fit into the pasuk of nevela in Vayikra Chavet. That's why he needs the word treifa to teach you otherwise, that an of tameh is not subject to that. Although the Rabbi Kiva Eger challenges that Balei Tosafot and saying, yes, Rabbi Meir believes Isser Chalal Isser. That's true when it's an Isser Motzif, an Isser Kolo, or an Isser Bevat Achat. But a Stam Isser Chalal Isser, he doesn't necessarily subscribe to that. And therefore he says he's not sure that that's really the position of Rabbi Meir. And then over here, it really would have worked that the Tumat Nevela would devolve upon a bird that is already non-kosher. And as we know, Rabbi Yehuda min nevela nafkale, Rabbi Yehuda already learnt out the exclusion of a non-kosher bird from nevela. But the obvious question is then, Rabbi Meir, I nevela ma'yavidla. What does he do with that extra word of nevela? The shi'ur achila b'kizayit. To tell you that the shi'ur for nevelat of tahor is a regular shi'ur of kizayit. It says, v'tibukle mikra kama. Why does he have to learn it out of the pasuk in Vayikra Chabet, the word nevela there? Why does he learn it out from the word nevela in Vayikra Yud Zayin? Medavke Rachmanim b'lashon achila. Because over there it also says, v'chol nefesh asher tochal nevela utreifa. The fact that it expressed it as an achila, the standard achila in the Torah is an achilat kezayit. Where it says, no problem. Chad l'shir achila b'kezayit. You're right. The one in Vayikra Yud Zayin comes to teach you that the shi'ur of consumption that makes you tamei, the tumat nevela for an of tahor, is a kezayit. The chad in the pasuk Vayikra Chabet comes to teach you, the word nevela teaches you there, to tell you that the din of nevela, there is subject to other dinim of achila, which is not only do you have to have a shiur, you have to have a shiur within the time of Halacha L'Moshe Mitzrayim, which is kedei achilat pras, which is any time there's an iser to consume something, there's also a boundary of time in which you must consume it. And that is kedei achilat pras, the amount of time it takes to eat a half a loaf, the Rashi and the Rambam, as to what the size of that is, and machloket in the poskim as to how much time that is, somewhere in the range of 2.5 to 9 minutes. And the Gemara Sirius says, Sagadat Kamino over Chidusho, the fact that this is a Chidush, and Rashi calls the Chidush the fact that the Tumah comes from swallowing it and not coming into contact with it. And nobody thinks that you get Tumah when you swallow or you eat something because it's Tumah Beit Starim. It's internal. So why should you have Tumah all of a sudden from swallowing something when there's no Tumah from Masa Maga, the very big Chidush? So we would have thought, Yoter Mikdei Achidah Pras Nami Litameh. It's not subject to the regular rules of Achila. And even if the span of time on which you consume it is much larger, you still become Tameh. Kamashmalan, then that's not the case. And over here, the Achronim have a field day because of the fact that what does Kdei Achila Pras have to do with this? The way that Tumah works generally is that you come into contact with an object that has a certain size. We have a requirement of a Kabetza for Tumat Ochlim. It doesn't mean that if you come into contact with half of Betza and half Kabetza, then you're Tamei. It means that if you come into contact with the item when it's a full Kabetza, you're Tamei. It's less than a Kabetza, you're not Tamei. So why over here do you have a Tziruf of these items to make you Tamei? Either you had a Kazayit at the time that you swallowed it and you're Tamei, or you didn't have a Kazayit. What's Kdei Achila Pras have to do with it? And this is where all the Achronim note that this is a different type of standard of Tumah than anywhere else, where you have the ability to be mitzterefin, and it's really more driven by achila than it is driven by the rules of Tumah. And that's exactly what Rabbi Meir is noting over here, that the regular rules of achila apply here because it's really driven by achila and not by the rules of Tumah. So now in that way, we've solved the limudim of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. Now the Gemara is going to go back and discuss that pasuk of chelev, nevela, v'chelev treifa, add some other dimensions to it for us. And then we'll come back and give a summary of how they're learning all these different psukim. Tarabanan, v'chelev nevela, v'chelev treifa, v'chelev beima Torah katub midaber. Like the Midrashei Halacha in general, they'll come up with the answer up front. They give you what they think the answer is. The answer is that that pasuk is only speaking about kosher animals. Then the Midrash Halacha will back away from that and say, are you so sure of that? And then bring you two options. And then out of those two options, it'll prove to you that the one it chose is the right one. So it states up front that it's talking about kosher animals. Are you so sure it's speaking about a kosher animal? Maybe it's speaking about a non-kosher animal. So Amart, because there's the logic that you could have stated. Tier michlal shkuta, tier michlal chelev. By shkita, we know that shkita is successful at removing tumat nevela by kosher animals. So do over here, where the pasuk tells you that the chelev will not be subject to tumat nevela, that should also be true by kosher animals. Makashiter michlal shkuta b'tohora, b'lo b'tmeya. Just like when shkita is successful at removing the problem of tumat nevela, it's only true by kosher animals. It's not true by non-kosher animals. So too, when it gave chelev an exemption from tumat nevela, that should be true, but Torah v'lo b'tmeya, by kosher animals and not by non-kosher animals. And so just like by shchita, where it's successful at removing the tumat nevela, so too over here, by the pasuk of chelev that tells you that the chelev is tahor, despite the fact that it's a nevela, that should also only be true by kosher animals. Oklach derzo. Or maybe you should say just the opposite. Tier michlal nevela, tier michlal chelev. There is a item that does not subject to tumat nevela, and there's an item that's not subject to tumat nevela by chelev. Makashi tier michlal nevela, when it says that you are tahor from the tumat of nevela, bit mea, that's talking about a non-kosher animal, below b'torah, not a kosher animal. Akashi tier michlal chelev. So too, when it says that the chelev is not subject to tumat nevela, bit mea, below b'torah, it should be with a non-kosher animal and not with a kosher animal. It's a very cryptic statement. The Gemara will have an Amora ask later on what exactly is going on in this Gemara. We'll give it away that it's speaking about an Of Tamei versus an Of Tahor. And that is that an Of Tamei is not subject to Tumat Nevela, whereas an Of Tahor is subject to Tumat Nevela. So that's what it's saying here. Of Tahor is subject to Tumat Nevela. Of Tamei is not. Well, an Of Tamei that's not subject to Tumat Nevela, maybe that's what the Pasuk in Chelev is also saying, that an animal that's not kosher is not subject to Tumat Nevela. Here the Gemara says, Amar, Kishaba b'derach zo hi b'tahora. When you learn it or use the logic in one direction, you end up saying it's a kosher animal. Kishaba b'derach zo hi b'tmeya. And you go in the other direction, you end up saying that it is a non-kosher animal. Tamal Omar, that's why the pasuk tells you, treifa, mish yesh b'mina treifa. Something that has a treifa in its world of halacha, or in its halacha category, otzi etetmeya shem b'mina treifa. And that would then exclude etmeya because treifa is not relevant in the world of an animal that is not kosher. In fact, the pasuk says chelav nevela, chelav treifa, tells you it's speaking about an animal where treifa is relevant. Treifa is only relevant for kosher animals. It's not relevant for non-kosher animals. They're tmeim and asurim b'achila, irrespective of the issue of treifa. Treifa is only a halachic category with regards to kosher animals. So Mar says, well, otziat tmei ma hashem b'mina treifa, v'lo otziat achaya, but I won't exclude achaya sheyesh b'mina treifa. That word, treifa, would not exclude a chaya, even though by the chaya, the chelev is mutar even beforehand. The chelev is mutar like it's basar. Nevertheless, with regards to the issue of treifa, it's a kosher animal. And kosher animals have a din of treifa. That's true by behemah, that's true by a chaya. So Talmud Lomar, that's the limud of achol lo tochlo, which is the end of the pasuk. Mi shechel ba asur b'sar mutar. That's something where the chelev is asur and the basar is mutar. Either, as we noted before, that means the extraneous words here are telling you What's the definition of the chalev above? That's a definition of chalev that is asur. So chalev that's asur is only applicable by behema, but chaya chalev is mutar even beforehand, and therefore it's not relevant over here. Or the way Rashi learned it on previous amud was, the only thing you can't eat here is the chalev, but implying that the basar is something that you can eat. That's true by behema, that's not true by chaya, and therefore, yatzah chaya, chaya is excluded now, shechelba ubisara mutar, because it's chalev and it's basar are both mutarim. And now we have now closed the loop on all the three psukim that we had. The pasuk in Vayikra Zayim, which is chalev nevela v'chalev treifa. The pasuk in Vayikra Yud Zayim, which is speaking about nevela tov tohor, chol nefesh tuchal nevela utreifa. And the pasuk in Vayikra Chabet, which is also speaking about nevela tov tohor, nevela utreifa. And everything we learned from those psukim. So we'll just go through it quickly. For Reb Yehuda, we know from Rava, that pasuk of chalev nevela v'chalev treifa comes to teach you that the Isra nevela is chal on the Isra Chalev, at least for the Inyan Isra Achila. And same thing, the Isra Treifa is chal on the Isra Chalev for Isra Achila. Then the Pasuk of Achlol Tolochlu tells you that a Chaya is not subject to the din here, where the Chalev will be not covered by Tumat Nevela afterwards. It's uniquely associated with a kosher animal. It's not true by a Chaya. It's also not true by a non-kosher animal. And what we'll have to say is that he learns that also from the word Treifa, or he learns two things from the word treifa. Rabbi Meir, on the other hand, will learn from the word treifa, it only applies to kosher animals, not to non-kosher animals. And from the acholot tochlo, he'll say it applies to behemot torot, kosher behemot, not to kosher chayot. And that this exception, or this din, that the chalev is tahor, even though it's a nevela, is only applicable to behemot torah, kosher behemot. That's when, if they become a nevela, the chalev does not take on the tumat nevela. As far as what chalev nevela comes to teach Rabbi Meir, that will likely be the chiddush that Tosafot discussed before, that if you hold Isur Chalal Isur, then why do you need this din of Chalav Nevela? And then we saw that there were the possibility that it's a chiddush, despite the fact that the Chalav is Torah, there still is an Isur Nevela over here, there still is Isur Chalal Isur. Now when we move on to Vayikra Yudzayin, where we have a Kol Nefesh Hashet Tuchal Nevela Utreifa, there, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the word Treifa comes to teach his main din, which is the fact that even when you do Shvita on an Of Tahor, if it's a Treifa, it remains with Tumat Nevela, and that does not get rid of Tumat Nevela. That is Rabbi Yehuda's limud from the word Treifa. That's what we started out the sugya with to discuss Rabbi Yehuda's position. As far as the word Nevela over here, there is no limud because it's not really an extraneous word, although the Baalei HaTosafot say that Efshar, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he would hold like Rabbi Meir in this case and say that it's coming for Achilat Kizayit, to teach you that it has to be an Achilat Kizayit. And that's what we know Rabbi Meir learns out of the word Nevela in Vayikra Yudzayin, is to tell you that the Shiur is an Achilat Kizayit. And even though that word isn't necessarily extraneous, but we learn out of Achilah for Rabbi Meir, maybe we would say the same thing for Rabbi Yehuda. That's what the Baalei HaTosafot suggests. And for the word Treifa, Rabbi Meir learns that that's the Me'ute Shchita Lifnim, to tell you that Shechita of Chulin in the Mikdash, Bifnim, is Mitaher Midei Tumat Nevelat Of Tahor. Then when it comes to the Pasuk of Vayikra Chavet of Nevela Utreifa, over there, Rabbi Yehuda will say that the Nevela comes to teach you that it doesn't have application by Nevelat Of Tameh, that an Of Tameh is not subject to this din of Nevelat Of Tahor. And with regards to the Treifa over there, the Gemara says that he learns like Rabbi Meir, that it comes the Me'ute Shechita Lifnim. And that's what we noted before. It's interesting that Shechita, where it's done properly on a Treifa, does not get rid of Nevelat Of Tahor. Whereas Shechita that's done improperly, it's done Lifnim on Chulin and it's Pasul, or they will get rid of the problem of Nevelat Of Tahor. And he learns that out of the word Treifa from Vayikra Chavet. For Rabbi Meir in Vayikra Chavet, he learns out of the word Nevela to teach you that you need a Shir Achilat Gedei Achilat Pras. That's the extraneous word nevela, because you don't need it. You already have the word nevela from Vayikra Yudzayin. And then from the word treifa, he loses that to the me'ute of tameh, to tell you that an of tameh is not subject to the din of nevelat of tahor. So that's how we darshan all of these psukim. And I sent out a chart that summarizes all of these opinions. So now the Gemara comes back to discuss the cryptic line at the end of the Braita that we already discussed, which is Amalei Rav Yaakov Bar Ava L'Rova, Ela Me'ato. How can you explain that last line in the Braita? Nevelat behema torah hu demitama. Nevela of a kosher animal is tamei. Nevelat behema tmeah lo mitama. But the nevela of a non-kosher animal is not mitamei? That doesn't make any sense. Amalei kama sabe shebishtu bab seifa. Many elders or many people have been puzzled by that last line in the Braita. Atan, I'll explain to you what it means, is nevelat of tamei. It's coming to teach about an of tamei. Because by an of tamei, there is no nevela or din nevela. The din is nevelat of tahor. And that's what we just learned at the end of the Braita. There are miutim that tell you that it's only applicable by tahor and not by tamei. And that was the havamino of the Braita. Just like by nevela, it's only applicable to an of tahor. It's not applicable to an of tamei, which means that an of tamei has less tuma associated with it. So to over here, where the chalev is being exempted from tumat nevela, maybe it should be about a non-kosher animal, not a kosher animal. The Braita dispelled that when it said the word treifa, which came to teach you that it's only about kosher animals and not about non-kosher animals. So now the Gemara goes back to discuss Rabbi Meir's position in the Mishnah with regards to Malika, where he suggested that Malika, even if it's a Malika psula, it still would be mitahir the oaf from the problems of tumat nevela, which means that if you have an oaf tahor, which is being mukrav on the mizbeach, and you do Malika on it, and then you find it's a treifa, according to Rabbi Meir, it doesn't have a din of tumat nevela of oaf tahor. According to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, it does have that din. So in Rabbi Meir's position, where he says that it doesn't have a din of tumat nevela of tahor, I'm Rabbi Yochan Lotia, Rabbi Meir, elabit mimim. It's only true if these are ofot that could have gone on the mizbeach, and that they were ra'ui to be a korban, and it fails because they were a treifa. Aval babali mumim, lo. But when it comes to a balmum, that would not be the case, because bali mumim aren't ra'ui the mizbeach. And therefore malika is not relevant to them. If it's not relevant to them, it can't provide the tahara of malika being like shechita. Because the malika of the oaf that goes on the mizbeach is makshirit. And since it's makshirit, it also brings the tahara. But that's not true by the bali mumim. On the other hand, Rabbi Lazar amar afilu bali mumim. It has application even for bali mumim. It has more extensive application. Because Yid Marnami, another Amoraic statement that helps to reinforce that this is Rabbi Lazar's opinion, that Amar Habibi, Amar Rabbi Lazar, Mitaher, Rabbi Meir, Bebali Mumim, Bafilu Bavazim, Betarnagolim. Not only was he Mitaher by Bali Mumim, which are birds that could have gone on the Mizbeach if they didn't have a Balmum, but even with geese and chickens, he allows the Malika to be Mitaher them. So Narashi claims over here these are animals that are Kodoshim, and therefore they're still in the world of Kodoshim. But since they are birds in the world of Kodoshim, therefore, they are subject to the heter of Malika. Rashi believes, and we said it in our Mishnah, that Rabbi Meir only believes that Malika works with Kodoshim. On the other hand, over here, it sounds like Rabbi Elazar believes that it has a broader context over here beyond Kodoshim. And that means that Rabbi Meir believes that Malika works inside of the Mikdash to be Mitaher, even when it's not something that is, quote-unquote, Kodoshim. That will go against the Mishnah that we saw at the end of the previous parak. And that would mean that Rabbi Meir can't be the author of that Mishnah. And you can see that explicitly in the Rashi Ktav Yad. As long as there's a Malika in any oaf, the Gamrina and Mitreifa, Ma Treifa Shishavot Bakol, just like Treifa is applicable to all of these oafot, Af Nevelot Shavot Bakol, so to the Din of Nevela is equal for all of them. Ve'had Itznan, and the Mishnah in the previous parak that said, Nismateina Nikta Ragla, Malek Chulin, Mitamei Bebeit Abliya, Jaloka Rabbi Meir, is not like Rabbi Meir, saying that it has nothing to do with Kodashim anymore. It just means that Malika works by birds, and since it works somewhere by birds, it works by any bird. That means whether it's Kulin, or whether it is Balmum, or whether it's Kodesh. That's what really draws the distinction between Rashi's view, that Rabbi Meir only says Malika works by Kodashim, and nothing else, because that's actually the source that he brings in the Mishnah, as well as in the Braita afterwards. Whereas the Rashi in the Ktav Yad, and over here, in the Shita Mekubetzet Od Gimel, he indicates that it applies across the board, even to Kulin and everything else. That means that the Mishnah in the previous parak was not like Rabbi Meir. And you can see that reinforced in the Balei Tosafot that say that the Mishnah in Masechet Tarot, which has the three opinions of Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi of our Mishnah, actually does not mechalek between Kodashim and Kulin within the position of Rabbi Meir, implying that his position applies across the board, whether it's Kodashim or Kulin. Again, this is against Rashi on the Mishnah that seems to indicate otherwise. But then the Shita Mekubetzet spends a lot of time and asks a very basic question, which is, where's the source for this in the position of Rabbi Meir? The logic that Rabbi Meir dictates in the Mishnah and in the Braita, like Rashi says, is all about Kodashim. It has nothing to do with Kulin. And so there, where is the source for this position of Rabbi Meir? So he quotes the Rashi Ktav Yad, where he explains, the Darshina Nami Matreifa Shishaveh Bechol, Perish bechulin ubkodashim. Af nevela shishavot bechol ben bechulin ben bekodashim. Only when there is an equivalence between the kodashim and the chulin is that true. Yatzt milika ena mitama bekodashim bechulin. Nami ena mitama. She was by milika that is not mitama by kodashim. So then chulin, it also will not be mitame. Bekasho. So then he brings a question that's something mehechshero to shelo hechshero. Then he goes on to try to defend that. And then, in doing so, he creates other problems in the sugya, which leads him to first of all believe that the brayto that we brought in Samach Tehillim and Aleph are authored by Rabbi Yehuda, not Rabbi Meir, in order to avoid the problem, and also because Stam Sifra is Rabbi Yehuda, as well as to say that Rabbi Meir, when he said that we learn from the word treifa, that it comes to exclude the case of shchita bifnim, that's not really the limud, but the limud is a broader limud from the word treifa, as we noted before. But then in the end, he backs away from that a little bit and says that maybe everything that we said until now in the sugya is true. And the source for Rabbi Meir with regards to Malika by Chulin is a Mei Matzinu. That same Mei Matzinu that tells you that shchita works by Chulin also can work by Kodashim. Same way, you can say the other way around. Malika can also, through a Mei Matzinu, be mitaher by Chulin. Just like it works to be mitaher in Kodoshim, it should also work to be mitaher by the case of Chulin. And through that Metzino, that'll be the source for Meir's position that even Malika by Chulin would be efficacious in getting rid of the Tumat Nevela of an Oftahor. Now the Gemara moves slightly afield of this and asks a question that is domain, which is by Rabbi Irmia. Meir asks, Erif Eiz, if a kills an Aes by doing an Arifa, breaking its neck from behind, Mahu, is that sufficient or successful at removing the Tumat Nevela from that goat? Rashi, the Shita Tov here, says that we're speaking about an Aes that was brought like an Egla Arufa when they had a case of Egla Arufa in order to make it similar to the case that he thinks before. The other Rishonim who think it has nothing to do with Kodashim, the other cases of Avazim and Tarnagolim, they can say over here, it could be a Stam Aes, it doesn't need the context. Just because we find that Arifa works in other places. Mao, what's it in? Avazim and Tarnagolim, why is it that Rabbi Meir believes that geese and chickens, Taimamai, Demina, Dolphot, you know? Because they're within the world of birds. Since they're in the world of birds, then we can say that they gain the same access to the Malika to be Mitaher. But that's because they're all one category. Avaz, Lab Mina Degla. The place where we find Arifa working like Shchita is by an Egla Arufa. And an Aes, a goat, is different than an Egla Arufa, because an Aes is a Behema Daka, it is a small animal, whereas an Egla is a Behema Gasa, it's a large animal. The key distinction being that Behema Gasot are used for their strength and for their work, whereas the Behema Dokot are only used for their production, whether it's wool, milk, or meat, that's what they're used for. So there's a key distinction. Maybe they're considered to be two different species or different categories because of that. And as the Balei Tosfot note over here, that distinction of Gasa and Daka does not apply to birds, because the birds, whether it's a big bird or a small bird, they're not used for work either way. They're only used for their production, whether that's eggs or for the meat, and therefore they're not subject to the distinction of Gasa and Daka. So that's why they're all considered one category. Or Dilma, Mina de Behemo. Or maybe they say A's and Ego are in the same category because they're all animals, even though maybe they're different size animals, but they're still all animals. So Rav Dimi was saying over this diyun about the question about Arifata Eis. Amalei Abaye questioned him. Miklal de Egla Rufa Tohorai. The assumption in this statement is maybe an Eis should be Tohor from Tumat Vela is the fact that an Egla Rufa is Tohor mi Tumat Vela. How do you know that? Amalei in. That is correct. Amrei de Bei Rabbiane Kaparakti Ba Kekodoshim. Because it says by the Egla Rufa, Kapar Lamcha Misrael Asher Padita. So the word kapara is used there by the Egla Arufa to indicate that it has a din like kodoshim. Because atonement or kapara is something associated with kodoshim, with korbanot. The fact that it uses that terminology with regards to Egla Arufa makes it similar or like kodoshim. That means just like the shchita of kodoshim is mitaheret and makshiret, so too the Arifa of the Egla Arufa will provide that heksher to be removed, the tumat nevela. So maybe Rav Natan Avua, the Rav Hayuna. So we had a question on that from Rav Natan, the father of Rav Huna. And obviously in the Girsa here it says Rav Huna bar Natan, but that's obvious because he's Rav Natan, the father of Rav Huna, and so they take it out of the Girsa. V'achol lo tuchlu. It says in the Pasuk by the Chelev Nevela and Chelev Treifa, v'achol lo tuchlu. Ein li ala Chelev she'asur ba'achila umutar behana'a. I only know about Chelev that is restricted from eating, but you're allowed to get hana from it. That Chelev is subject to the din of the Pasuk, that if it's a nevela, it'll be exempted from the problems of tumat vela. Chelev shoshor niskal ve'egla arufa minayin. By the shoshor niskal and the egla arufa, where they are asurim behana'a. How do I know that the chelev in the pasuk also has the same din? That means when the animal dies, the chelev will remain tahor, even though they are nevelot. Tamilomar kol chelef, which is either from Vayikra, Per Gimel, Pasuk Yitzayin, Chukat Olam Dor Techem, B'chol Moshvot Techem, kol chelef, B'chol Dam, Lo Techelo, that kol chelef, or the possibility of Vayikra Zayin, Pasuk Chav Gimel, which is right before the Pasuk, B'chelef Nevelah, B'chelef Treifa, which is the barrel B'nei Yisrael Eimor, kol chelef, Shor B'chesed Ve'ez, Lo Techelo. So either case, the word kol chelef comes to teach you that all chelef will have the same din, which means that even chelef that's a surbana will not be subject to Tumat Nevelah. If you think an Egla Rufa is not subject to Tumat Nevelah because the Arifa makes it as if it had a Shkita, you would have thought that the animal itself doesn't have Tumat Nevelah, but the Chalev has Tumat Nevelah, and that's why you need a Pasuk to tell you otherwise. No. We don't need the Pasuk to tell you. When you did Arifa on the animal, it's Tahor mi Tumat Nevelah, and so will the Chalev be. In a case where you did the shchita on it, instead of an arifa, you did a shchita. You did it improperly. So that shchita, we want to know then that the chelev will not be subject to tumat nevela. Gemara says, "Vitani le shchita le tara midei nevela." Shchita itself should be successful and get rid of the problem of the tumat nevela, even for the whole animal. Forget about the chelev. So Gemara says, "You're right." Lo tzricha shemeta. It's a case where the egla rufa died by itself. So now it's going to be subject to tumat nevela. And the pasuk of kol chelev comes to teach you that the pasuk of chelev nevela v'chelev treifa, which says that chelev is tahor and the animal is tumat nevela, also applies to the case of chelev and tumat nevela of an egla arufa. Mar says michal de michayim asura. From there, you would imply that the egla arufa is restricted while it's alive already. And that the only way it could become an egla arufa really is when you do the arifa. But now you tell me if it dies, it was already an egla arufa. How is it an egla arufa before it died, or before it was killed as an arifa? So in, that's true, Amarabiyana, Gvul Shamati V'Shachachti. I heard there was a point in time where the Egla Rufa took on the status of the name of Egla Rufa before the arifa, but I forgot what it was. Naspin Chavraya Lemeimar, and my peers, or my Talmidim, helped me to learn this back, Yurita L'Nachaleitan Hi Osreta, that when you start taking it down to the dry riverbed, or the barren riverbed, that's when it takes on a shame of Egla Rufa. And then if it dies then before it has the arifa or even a shchita done to it, it will turn into an avela. But the kol chelev tells you that it's still subject to the din of the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Zayin, the chelev nevela, the chelev treifa, yaseh l'chol melacha, v'chol lo tochlu, that the chelev will not become tamei b'tumat nevela. And with that, we finish the seventh perek, hadron ala chatatov.